You know what? That was a fun show. That was a lot of fun. Really enjoyable.
Mato's on the edge. He could have ended it. He could have either ended the day in the studio or in a police wagon. He was fired up today, and I appreciate that.
I like the word fired up because I was calling on a lot of people to be shot.
Yeah. You really were.
I find myself agreeing with you more about that, and then I get home and I'm like, geez, I really agree with Mato on a lot of shooting things.
Yeah, but how about the new addition to that? Let's remove one tattoo at a time by cutting them out.
I thought that
was common sense.
Okay.
We should run that more often, the court of common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, we can. And then we can do it from an actual court when they play back the transcripts. That'll be fun. also, Gordy Tallis having a swing at the Blues. That was good. He lined them up a bit, which was quite nice.
What about some of those tradies early? What happens when they didn't get paid? Like people going broke and being angry and a bit of revenge with the chainsaw. All good. Yep.
And Robin, you brought a very interesting chat to our attention about siblings giving each other organs or not.
Or not. Mm. And very interesting calls from people who are actually living it rather than thinking it.
True. What a day you had on the show after it was revealed earlier that you were an upshorter. You admired going upstairs behind men checking them out.
I did not.
I think you did.
Your legs do not get cold.
Yeah, my legs don't get cold.
Why don't they get cold? Are they hairy? They're not that hairy. Let me have a look. Oh, yeah, you are.
Yeah, mine a bit
upshorting.
Yeah, that was an attempt.
That was not an
look
upshort.
Look up the toweling.
I just looked at your legs.
See, it ain't got pervy.
No problem. See ya.
Mato, Ed and Robin for Team Moto, huge half-yearly sale. Don't miss your chance to grab a new Yamaha, Kawasaki, Honda or Suzuki motorcycle. Teammoto.com.au.
Okay, so I was in the car last night. My middle sons made the Met West team, so they had a soccer training session.
Well, congrats to them.
Yeah, which was wonderful. So I was dropping him off at about 6:45 last night, not usually listening to the radio at that time, and I got the Dead Set Legends. And I became instantly interested because after the wash-up of State of Origin, and of course we lost.
I worry about that show. It's very Sydney-centric. Did they have Sydney people on?
Gallen.
Yeah,
I know. Well, I just figured that, Gallen. You know, we finished our show yesterday looking forward and wanting to be motivated for the second State of Origin. And I figured if I played this to you, that would be the last bit of motivation you would need.
We didn't miss any tackles Wednesday night, Ed and I. Don't look at us.
Well, okay. This is what Paul Gallen said about our loss in State of Origin 1.
Look, I'm sure the Queenslanders don't care about my opinion of their side, and I don't have much of a care either. But I'm certainly, seeing as you asked the questions, I think they will have some changes.
Yep.
I think...
Does Billy Slater come back in?
I'd go Billy to fullback, and I'd put Darius on the wing. Oh. Unfortunately, Nate Miles, being the oldest one, will probably be the one to get ousted. But I think all the forwards in that team have to put their hand up and take it.
Yeah, he wasn't alone, was he?
He wasn't alone, no, not at all.
All right, there you go, Queensland. Paul Gallen has helped you out. Right.
I haven't helped him out. I'm just giving you it. Only because you asked me. I couldn't care less. I'm loving today. Yeah. Keep writing those stories, Queenslanders.
I found Gallen to be quite enlightening, though.
Yeah,
I didn't mind.
Of all things, that's the first time I'm like,
That's Gallen's right.
Vaguely right, correct.
Except he was enjoying the fact that our press was turning on each other and we were actually chewing on our own. Okay, yeah, but I was getting slightly miffed. Anyway, let's move on to Kevvy because I wasn't watching that. He was on 360.
Well, Kevvy, he was on Fox on NRL 360 and saying the same thing. Like, I know they had a few of the players yesterday. Will Chambers came out in front of the cameras and go, oh, no, I don't think there should be any changes. I think we always pick and stick and show loyalty. Well, that's one of the reasons we're in this pickle at the moment. Kevvy might come up with a few surprises, and I think he's ready to go, hold on, my name's on this team. I'm going to make changes. Yes, exactly. Kevvy?
You know, we won't be too critical of those. The effort last night from both teams, and particularly, it was outstanding. And I don't want to be critical of that right now. We'll just let the dust settle over the next week or two, and then we'll come up with a plan for Origin 2.
I'll give you the plan. Hold on, this is what he said.
Well, I'll sit down with Lockie and Gino. Obviously, there were some things last night that we weren't good at, and we spoke about that after the game. Yeah. It's up to those, the team and the players and the individuals to fix themselves up in the next couple of weeks. If we don't see some improvement, well, we may have to make some changes.
Is that a broad warning?
Can I throw something in?
Yeah.
Just an observation.
Of course.
Is Kevvy too nice?
No.
Because sometimes, like, you think about the former... you know, coaches, they've all had a bit of mongrel, like Mal Meninga, Wayne Bennett. Maybe Kevvy's just too lovely.
I believe behind the scenes, Kevvy would be slightly different to the Kevvy that we... Kevvy's a lovely person, but I think when he has to, You've got to remember he won, what was it, six premierships?
Six NRL premierships when guiding a team around from 5/8. When he switches on, he switches on.
So he
when
can become a mongrel.
Well, but not only that, but he doesn't might not even need to, Robin, because he has, you look at Kevin Walters, he has got incredible, he's had incredible success in the game. And if he tells you something and you don't listen, well, then you don't deserve to be there anyway.
Mm. So true.
Are we done now?
I'm Paul Gallen.
Marto, you'd say winter is definitely here.
Well, this morning was chilly on the bike, but it wasn't as cold as it's going to get. Like, it's only, I did bring the thermometer today, just because I like to justify my life. 12 degrees, was everyone happy with that?
Hmm. Okay, sure.
I like Robin's fascination with Ed and I, our decision to wear shorts every day.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I was at Darra last night because my middle son's made the Met West team for football under 15s. And so, you know, they need to train more because that's what I need in my life. Anyway,
yes, more driving.
I was out there at 8:15 last night. Hey. And I was just noting that for the dads that were waiting for their sons to finish, I think over 60% of them were wearing shorts and pluggers.
Hmm. I'm like, pluggers is a tough one. I'll normally enclose footwear at this time of year. I've put the pluggers away.
Can you explain to me, you two? Like, you're mad.
Because it doesn't
hurt.
Your
legs don't get cold.
Your legs do not get cold.
My legs don't get cold.
Why don't they get cold? Are they hairy? They're not that hairy. Let me have a look.
Mine are.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Yeah, mine are a bit woolly.
Upshorting.
Yeah, that was an attempt.
That was not an
look up
upshort.
The toweling.
Upshort.
Please stop looking up Marto's pants. That needs to stop.
Okay.
Can we record? Make sure we have that. Now, well, you know, I get your fascination, but actually Ed and I are fascinated on, because we both look at each other and go, probably should have worn long pants today, but we didn't.
Nope. I'd love to know who's in shorts today. Where are you? And what are you doing? How cold is it?
Do truckies wear shorts? Do most truckies wear shorts?
Okay, that's cheating because you're in a cabin. If you're inside, like if you're in a car, you can wear shorts.
Do you see those
just
blokes? Sorry. Remember Wednesday morning? That got a bit chilly, 12 or 13. Yeah. All those blokes that were there to pick up their tickets to the Origin had thongs and shorts on.
They're
remember
nuts.
The concreter? Matt,
nuts.
I think his name
you're
was.
All nuts, people.
It's
you're
not
nuts, you're nuts, you're nuts.
It doesn't get cold as long as you look up, you know, if you got it, most people have a bit of a jumper on this morning.
Yeah.
Up top.
Well, we'll find out, won't
and
we?
A beanie.
About to find out. Who's in shorts? It's winter has officially started and you're still wearing shorts.
Every day of the year.
Oh,
yeah. Be loud and be proud. Shorts wearers, what are you doing today? How cold is it? Well, you don't care.
Gives it a chance to say to the blokes, what are you wearing?
What are you wearing?
Pretty much.
What have you got on?
Let me just explain. When Marto walks in his other array of Terry Towling shorts, which would be good if you're sweating.
Vast array.
Vast array of those. And I like
even
the ones with the tassels.
I've got many more pairs. I'll bring them all in one day.
And matched with a totally mismatched colour beanie.
Okay. But that's not what we're talking about.
That's not about that. It's about who's in shorts because you'll find out right now, Robin, that most blokes who don't have to wear pants are definitely in shorts. Joel from Alimba, what did you just see, mate?
Mate, a bloke just came past me on a motorbike in shorts.
Oh, that's chilly.
What do you have on up top? He was sorted up top, I guess.
No, he just had a jumper on. He didn't even have gloves on.
Yeah,
he's a tough unit right there.
Thank you, Joel. We love that guy. Thanks, Joel. Julie, hang on. Julie, you're a lady, Julie.
Last time I looked.
Well done, you. You wear shorts.
Hold on, let me ask her so it's creepy. What are you wearing, Julie?
Board shorts and a jacket.
Yeah.
Love it, Julie. Board shorts, yes.
Boardies? What are you doing for a job?
I'm a courier.
Oh, can you wear...
Driving half the time and running the rest of the time.
So you're exercising a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You don't own any high heels, do you, Julie?
No.
I like it. I like her.
So have you got covered footwear, Julie? Like you're keeping your toes
sneakers.
Warm?
Sneakers.
I've got steel caps.
Oh, steel caps.
Steel caps as well.
Are you taken, Julie? Are you off the market?
Currently.
Okay.
Currently,
well,
wow.
If that situation changes, I reckon Amato may know people.
Oh, there's some blokes licking their lips at the prospect of getting their hands on Julie. Let me tell you.
Julie's
no high heels. She's what we call low maintenance in the business.
Andrew is from Ormo. Now, Andrew, how'd you go, mate? What's your record like last year?
Last year, didn't put a pair of shorts on at all last year.
No, shorts or long pants?
Long pants.
Yeah, thank you.
You got nervous, he was on radio.
Did you just not get cold, Andrew?
No, not really. I find it's just, as long as the top half's warm, bottom half takes care of itself.
Same. Andrew, you have described my affliction, exactly. As long as my top half's warm,
yep.
The bottom half, I figure the blood's running around. It'll take care of itself. I never get cold legs, Andrew.
Spot on.
Doesn't it get cold around the nether regions?
No, I've got a box of four.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? Robin's asking, Andrew. Keeping warm.
Hey? Always warm.
Okay, that's why I really wasn't.
Thanks.
And if it's not, you rub it vigorously and you warm yourself up. That's how you get warm. You rub your...
Thank you. Oh, no, you nearly got yellow carded for Julie.
If my arm's cold.
I'll rescind that card.
Thank you.
No, I don't. Cole of Caloundra.
What are you wearing, Cole?
Yeah, I'm in shorts as well.
What do you do?
I'm a truckie as well.
So in and out of the truck a lot?
Yeah, in and out all day.
You don't need shorts?
Do a lot of loading, but because I moved from Victoria at Christmas time and I just made the promise that I was never ever going to wear bloody pants again.
Isn't it liberating, Cole? Isn't it liberating?
It's good, and because at the end of the day, once the sun's up, warms up, and everyone's happy.
Do you ever get cold, Cole?
Mm. I'll turn the heater on.
but Cole, sometimes is it a leather seat you got in the truck?
Nah, lamb's wool seat.
Oh, lamb's wool. Oh.
Why don't we have lamb's wool shorts? Ooh. Like the inside, or lamb on the wool on the inside.
Well, I wear a lamb's wool G-string. That's how I start.
Oh, my God. It's like an Ugg boot for the boys.
With that image in your mind, it's Smarto Ed and Robin.
Odd statistic in the paper today. And now, Robin, you've got three boys that are in what years at school?
7, 10 and 12.
Marta, you've just had a young lad finish year 12.
Yeah. Cool.
Any of your boys, I don't know if you're going to say this on radio, any of them ever been around suspension?
Negative?
No, actually. One got quite close, but didn't.
Oh, no, maybe one day in grade 8.
What about you, Marta?
What happened? Don't want to say?
No.
Okay, what about you? You'll talk about yourself.
What?
Do you ever get suspended?
I never, ever got suspended. I only got the cane once. Oh, kiddies, that's when a man used to hit you really hard with a stick.
What did you do to get the cane?
Mate, it was in grade 4. Mum was on tuck shop that day and I was outside the principal's office and copped the cane.
Did you get 6 of the best?
Oh, and then, yeah. Yeah, geez, that used to hurt.
Okay.
It was a fair while ago, Robin. It was actually, he told me about this once before. He tugged James Cook's pantaloons, and he got the cane for that.
Shut up.
Now, I've never, ever. No, well, because there's been a 40% increase in the last 3 years of secondary school kids getting suspended. Now, they're claiming it's because year 7 have now joined high school and principals have more powers. I don't think that. I think it's because of social media, and schools are able to track behaviour of students much more quickly.
What?
That's very, because that happened to my brother-in-law, who just finished school last year or the year before, I can't remember.
Last year.
And he's in his friendship group. There were a couple of them got suspended for, and has, ready?
Yeah.
Suspended for running through the library with the shirt off and arms outstretched like a bird and squawking. And
was that a prank, end of school, prank, end of season?
It was just a
prank.
Stupid boys being stupid, right? And then the teachers didn't know about it because it happened in an instant. Squawk, squawk, squawk. Everybody laughs. You move on with your life.
Yeah.
One of them filmed it. One of them put it on social media.
Yeah.
Somehow a teacher saw it and went back and just whoever was basically in the shot that they took, they just take names.
They got suspended.
And they got the ass.
Have you ever been suspended, Ed Cavalli?
I try and remember back because I used to live across the road from my high school. So when the principal was looking for kids that had absconded, he would, who you got in there, Ed? And we'd all sort of get marched back across. I didn't need to be suspended because I was just at home most of the time. So question is, have you been suspended? Maybe you're a parent of a child that's been suspended. What happened?
There's some weak reasons that they suspend sometimes. They just go, suspended. And a lot of kids like being suspended.
Yeah,
a few days off.
And you know, I always go back to the first rule of parenting that I've learned from you, Marto, since being here on Triple M.
Don't take any more.
No. It's really good. It's helped me so much parent my boys, and that is boys are stupid.
Correct.
So, they grow up into being
now
men.
Now that I've taken that, it makes my life a whole lot easier. So if you have a suspension story, either your own or your children's, the more weirder the better.
Steve from Moggle. Suspended, what for?
G'day, guys. We're going back a long time now. So I'm 40, so I was back in year 7. And I agree with you, Robin, boys are stupid. I had a teacher. Well, my teacher was the vice principal. He stepped out of the classroom for just a moment, and we were all going mug glares down the back of the class, as you do. I had a cardboard box, and we were throwing it backwards and forwards to each other. I got it, threw it up in the air, it hit a ceiling fan. We had those really high ceilings, so the lights were hanging off change, fluoro ones.
Yeah.
The ceiling fan flung backwards and forwards, hit the fluoro light, and exploded all over everyone. So needless to say, instant suspension.
Yeah, no, you got to go for that, Steve. Showering the class with glass. That's excellent. I'm on the teacher's side.
Did anyone get hurt? No one cares. Moving on. Okay.
No, fine.
Yeah. I got done from an outside school. I realised that caning was for rocking an old lady's house and walking home one day from Chermside State School. We just thrown a couple of rocks and spotted in the uniform, got back, bang. That's why you get the cane.
Is that where you came up with your theory, boys are stupid?
No, boys, just all my mates. Everyone's stupid. And then you grow into stupid men.
Alice of Brackenridge, what happened?
Oh, my nephew got suspended for handing in a teacher's knife that they found in the library.
Hang on, what type of knife?
Oh, what?
Like a kitchen knife, not a butter knife, like an actual meat cleaver.
So took a knife and said, oh, hey, listen, the teacher's left this in the library, and he got suspended.
Yeah. Yes.
On what grounds? What for?
Oh, for bringing a knife to school, supposedly.
So they didn't believe him?
5 at the time.
That's
bizarre. Poor little guy. But he's out of school now, so it's all good.
He's out of school now and he's a knife thrower, professional knife thrower.
Alice, let me tell you one. I got a friend whose kid took a knife at the age of 8, took it to school, took a knife from home. Only there was a kid bullying him. He stabbed his footy. That's why he took a knife to school.
Oh, that's terrible.
And he got suspended for 2 days.
Take your knife to school.
He didn't threaten any humans. He just knew that it hurt this kid.
Strong
so
message. Strong
okay,
message.
I'm not going to advocate
you're up
that
next,
ever.
Mate.
Okay, Jamie of Brighton. Suspension, what happened?
I got expelled from school. We've decided to put 250 table tennis balls in the church organ for the end of term service.
Oh, that's good. Good prank.
This was a very religious school. It took us about 3 months to get everything together to actually do it. And we got the stained glass window ladder up on top of the organ after choir practice and filled up the organ. Brilliant. And then we had that horrible moment when you've done it and you're escaping out one of the windows of the church and you realize there's no going back.
Yeah.
And so we were all processing with the candles on the cross when the organist struck the organ voluntary, a big cloud of ping pong balls appeared
above
the organ and rolled forward and dropped 25 feet down onto the ground and started bouncing all over the church.
How did they get you, Jamie?
What they did is they got all the kids that could have possibly done it in one room and waited till somebody owned up because they were going to fingerprint the organ and all the other stuff.
Oh, we're not
fingerprint the organ.
I got sent 70 miles off the coast of the United Kingdom onto an island called the Isle of Man. I went to boarding school for 6 years.
Jesus.
Just for putting ping pong balls into an organ. What?
That's really good. That's really good.
Do you know what's good about this, though? Because I will talk on behalf of, you know, mums, when your kids get into trouble and you completely freak out and you think that their life is going to be over, and if they've got in trouble with the principal, then they're going to be marked forevermore. Yeah. It just reminds you that actually
it means nothing.
It's all okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's all,
it is.
All right.
It's going to be okay. Well done, everyone.
Marto, Ed and Robin, new Triple M.
Okay, Ed, this has become a bit of a fun game to play. It's the Court of Common Sense.
Yeah,
and,
Marto,
I've got another couple of cases for you that I want you to rule on. There are two old stories that are doing the rounds at the moment that are in court. Now, one of them involves Barbara McCulkin, who was murdered with her two daughters back in January 1974. Brisbane woman taken from her home with her kids and killed in cold-blooded.
A lot of people are going, 43 years ago,
yeah,
what's
long time.
This all about?
Anyway, a judge has branded the two people responsible, Vincent O'Dempsey, a cold-blooded killer, and his accomplice, Gary Dubois, as a coward.
God, if you read the transcript from what happened at this court case and telling stories and what these
awful
two blokes did. So they went guilty last week.
Yeah, right. So they were sentenced yesterday. But what's also come out today, and this is the front page of today's paper, is that they also reckon that Vincent O'Dempsey may have been involved in the Whiskey A Go-Go fire. Now, for those that don't remember, it happened in 73 and 15 people were killed in Brisbane. It was a Whiskey A Go-Go nightclub. So this guy is clearly got a whole lot to answer. But here's my question.
These were criminals. They were part of a gang called the Clockwork Orange Gang. I can remember them. Like, I was 8 or 9 years of age when that Whiskey A Go-Go, and used to ask my dad, They threw drums, whoever did it, I'm not saying these blokes did it, threw drums of petrol down the fire escape of the nightclub. No one got out of there.
Yeah, 15 people died. It was awful. But here is my question, right?
Yeah.
Just as Peter Applegrath yesterday said he expected the two men who are now aged 78 and 70 would die in prison.
Righto.
Okay, so if you know that you are going to sentence two guys to life in prison and chances are they'll never get out.
Save me. All right, court of common sense. You're on a ruling straight away. They're going to die. The judge has said that you are sentenced to life in prison. You're going to die in prison.
Yes, that's what they're saying.
Am I allowed to say the court of common sense hands down a ruling is shoot them now?
Ed.
Of course you are.
I'm a taxpayer. Yeah, well, 120,000 a year, I believe, it costs to keep a prisoner. What's the use? What is the use of these two scumbags living from now on? I know you're not allowed to say.
But also, didn't they spend a lot of time out of, didn't they not get caught for a very long time as well?
That's they've right. Been, 40 years, Ed. 40, no. More than 40 years they've been roaming our landscape.
They've taken lives and they've just been living their lives out in the community for a long time. It's disgusting.
Are you with him though? That they deserve to die?
Yeah, I believe. I think that there are certain cases where capital punishment is warranted. I do.
Really? Mm. See, I just think that they can live the rest of their life in jail. You're assuming that jail is a good place. I don't think it would be a good place.
They'll be in control of it.
That it's been in a situation where there are situations where people have more than purposefully taken other people's lives and ruined the lives of everyone of those around. Those people, and I just don't like that.
I've got another case. All right. Well, let's leave that because we're probably not allowed to say that. Let's go to this. Remember Constable Brett Fort, who died
the
other day?
Yeah,
he was from Toowoomba, but he came down to that incident out near Helidon the other day and got shot by that Rick Madison dude.
Yeah, who's now also deceased.
All right. His wife yesterday was laying a floral wreath at the tribute that's been set up in Toowoomba for Constable Fort.
She's
had a minute
also a police
silence
officer.
At the Origin the other night. 50,000 people were quiet for a minute while we saluted him, and everyone thought about him. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Yesterday, as she was bending over to lay that wreath, there was a carload of mates of that Rick Madison who drove past and did this.
Only for the moment to be interrupted by a heartless heckler.
What did they say?
What about Rick?
As in
while
what?
The wife of the constable who was shot by Rick Madison, while she lay the wreath, they yelled out, what about Rick? As in saying somebody, no one's laying any wreaths for him.
Are they serious?
Court of common sense. Yeah. Again, I'd like to say you shoot them, but you're not allowed to. So therefore, I hope that every cop took that number plate and they harass those men for the rest of their lives. Every single day, if anyone got 5 minutes spare, go out and get those blokes and do something to them. Because every day, those blokes in that car will be doing something illegal. Just harass them for the rest of their lives for that.
Really?
Court of common sense has handled.
What would you do then, Robin? You're responding. What would you do?
I think, getting their numbers. I would like to find out who they are because my guess would be if you're friends with someone like that bloke who had a cache of weapons and had broken more laws than
if
there
you're
are
his mate.
Cooked dinners, then chances are you could possibly get them for doing illegal stuff as well. And maybe by
every
them
day.
Screaming out like that, they've just brought themselves attention to the police and they can be done legitimately and caught in and brought to justice. That would be my guess. And that would be a legal way to do it because you can't just go around shooting people you'd like to.
Let's remove a tattoo a day because they'd have plenty, I'm sure, if they were mates with that bloke.
Okay.
A brand new way.
Yeah. The Court of Common Sense is now closed. I'm
Court
very
of Common
glad you're
Sense
not
a, may be closed permanently.
Forever. So glad you're not a judge. Shoot them.
Shoot them or remove their tattoos. What cut them out? Now on Triple M, we're checking in.
Tell us, everyone loves Tell Us. Guys, I tell you what, Marto and Robin, I tell you what, a good show, Late Night with Matty Johns on your Fox Sports. If I don't catch it, often catch a replay. It is it's a good show. Mm. It's good fun. Matty does a great job. There's get some good gags in there, but also because it's a little bit later, Gordy unleashes a few.
I can't wait up that late, does he?
Yes, he does. Hey, morning, Gordy.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
All right, good. I'm going to tee you up for your good zinger from last night. I understand there are two selection changes that you think would help Queensland in Game 2. What are they?
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm sitting on the couch with three New South Wales people. I finally got booed, actually walking onto a stage, and I said, Queensland really need Paul Gallen and Robbie Farah back.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Singer. Singer.
And then, I said, no, seriously, I said, well, just bring Robbie.
Yeah.
That's great.
Good stuff. But to be fair to you, Gordy, Nathan Peets was a lot better than Robbie Farah had been.
Well, they're just different players. You know, Nathan Peets picks the ball up at dummy half, just like an old one, and they give great service. He's got a great spiral pass on him. He passes to the forwards.
Not selfish.
Where Robbie likes to come out and put on all the plays. Like, he wants to come out and try to put every single guy through a hole, and it's really hard to do for 80 minutes. Yes, you said it.
Well, I didn't say that. No, it was Gus Gould or one of those. It was them saying. Yeah. Remember, he was saying it last year, saying that Gallen and Farah.
I think even their own teammates were saying it at times as well.
Thank you very much,
mate. The sad part is we sort of went on with it, and you know, for the demise of Queensland, you know, the guys that come in. So if Gallen was playing for Feeder, probably would have still been on the bench.
How would you have stopped for Feeder in your day?
Oh, he's hard, mate. He's got, mate, you've got to get off the line speed. You know, I mean, like, he's a big guy, and how you take energy out of a Mato is you've got to make him tackle for a while. But New South Wales had all the ball. They completed, I think, 18 from 19 sets in the first half, which was very close to perfect. That's a lot of football. We missed two tackles for two tries, so Queensland did an amazing job. But then doing that much defence, we sort of run out a little bit of gas in the second half, mate. But you've got to get a lot of bodies around him, mate. He's a really big guy. He runs unusual. He doesn't run straight.
He's fast, too.
He's bow-legged. He actually moves really good for a guy that's about 120 kilos.
Gordy, can we be honest? He's very fast. He's got a great sidestep. And because he's got such a big gut, you can't get around his hips.
I know. I don't know,
fat,
mate.
Fast,
like, if I was size 38, I reckon he must be about size 44, like around there.
I would have said 42.
Oh, Robin, 42, there you are. Yeah. So, and that's probably 42 burgers he has a week too.
Yeah, God, he's on fire.
Up until now, I didn't have a huge amount I could contribute, but there you go. Is there any rugby league going on this weekend, Gordy?
There is, but I reckon it's still on Origin. I reckon that we will make some changes, you know, which, you know, I think we just need some young legs around the middle. Jared Wallace from the Titans and that big Cohen Hess, you know, we need some punch coming off, and he's a real big guy. So, and I did talk to Jonathan Thurston, and there's no doubt that he'll probably play for the Cowboys maybe one or two games before Origin 2. So then that's a bonus for the Queenslanders to have JT come back, especially in Game 2 and Game 3, if his shoulder gets him through the Cowboys.
Should Darren Lockyer apologise to Queensland for not picking Billy Slater?
Well, there you are. And then Billy's another chance of coming back as well. You know what I mean? Do you know what? Like, Billy's speed, and as what Matty did last night, he pointed out that they put on that Melbourne Storm play where it goes from Cameron to Cooper and just back on the inside, and Darius just missed it.
He wasn't there.
It was an opportunity.
Yes.
And he wasn't there when obviously Billy would be. And when you're fatigued and you can put on that little club combination, it always helps. But, you know, I'm sure, mate, I'm sure they'll pick the best side for game two when you come down here. And obviously, because we weren't too far away. Don't worry about the scoreline. We actually weren't too far away, and we did cross the line three times. So if we don't miss any tackles and, you know, we get across the line, we'll be a lot closer in game two.
All right, Gord. It's a big weekend of footy. We'll see you on Fox. We'll hear on the M's, mate. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'm not sure how many of you guys knew this, but the Brian Burt car dealership company collapsed in 2014.
It used to be Brian Burt Ford.
Yeah. Hey. Yep. Ford to Volkswagen. 7 Queensland sites, and they collapsed owing $70 million to creditors. It happened in November 2014. Gosh. The reason why it's
what
coming up
there?
Now. Yeah, what happened? Exactly right.
What happened is a great question.
The bankruptcy directors are now looking into what exactly went down. But the thing that interested me about this, so it's been, nearly 4 years, 3 or 4 years, the banks have managed to recover some of their funds, but the small suppliers and the little investors got
this.
Zero.
And it can wipe you out. Robin, I just, how many times have we heard this?
Well, Marta, exactly you, right.
And you and I have it, before you joined us, Robin, Marta and I used to talk about, Marta brought it up, of course, I don't know anything, subcontractors, how they always get fleeced.
Mate, I got one from the other day, Ed, that bloke, you have a mate who's taken over a site where the builder's gone broke.
Yeah.
The blockies were at 120,000. Apparently the formworkers, the guys who put the timber that, and then the concrete slab goes in there, they're owed over 100 grand. That drives you broke.
Yeah, that, of course.
I almost went broke once as a builder when someone didn't give me about 11,000, I reckon. That can send you broke because the thing is, you're gone.
That's
if that's your
that's that, heaps.
Well, 10 grand, I reckon, can send you to the... Oh, hold on. It makes sense. Last night on A Current Affair, listen to this headline.
We've seen our share of dodgy tradies over the years, but few quite as vindictive as this hot-headed builder.
Right.
His short fuse and arsenal of power tools.
Hang on.
What do you do?
She's talking about dodgy tradies, but the other side of the coin is this bloke didn't get paid, so he's gone and giving it this one. He's gone in and cut every stud in the frame, just, you know, studs, they're the things that hold the walls up, the vertical timber members.
Yep.
He's gone through and cut them all down.
Because he didn't get paid.
He didn't get paid. So, and I got a mate like this, 12 grand. He went over, he was a house lifter. I won't mention his name because he did get in trouble for it. Went over and yelled at, I've told you this one on air, and told the lady, she was standing on the veranda, she owed him $12,000, all right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll cut them down. He started cutting her stumps down with a chainsaw, went out to the truck and got it. You got the 12 grand yet, love? And he got in some trouble from
did he get his money?
No.
But what else is he meant to do?
That's
like,
right.
What's he meant? I feel for you're standing there looking at your work and they're not paying you. What else are you meant to do?
Well, yeah, I guess you take it to the small claims tribunal.
What are these people?
In this
what are
scenario,
these people do who this car company owns them?
Yeah, but what happens with bankruptcy is that the biggest creditors get paid first, and so obviously that'll be the banks.
Who
and
are
then
the small
the
ones?
Guys.
Like the tyre, the guys who supply the tyres to
all
this
of
car
that.
Company.
Yeah.
Like some bloke will out of Bob Jane somewhere and he'll be out of pocket for 40 grand.
Yeah, or people who may have supplied some of their second-hand cars.
Actually, ask everyone. Our listeners, people listening, especially at this time, I guess, they have experienced this. When someone didn't pay them, it can send you broke. Or did you get even sometimes?
Okay.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Yeah. Have you had this not being paid?
Yeah, look, I think the big picture we need to take into consideration is that a small business like myself, I'm a one-man chippy band, and small business need cash flow, and if we don't have cash flow, we're stuffed. I'm in a situation where a lady owes me only $1,700, but it's sending me backwards. And I was in a situation last week where I was going to do exactly what that guy on TV did last night.
Yep.
Not start knocking down walls.
Yep.
Because otherwise, it can break your whole everything. Just screws you totally.
Well, your suppliers are going to ask for their money at the end of the month. So if you don't get it, you are gone. And then you get a bad name, and then no one wants to give you any gear. It keeps on going round and round.
It is, and it's, you know, I've got suppliers, and I've got other trades that I use that I don't need to pay them, and it's just.
So what happened?
Well, nothing. It's not resolved. And I now have to go through tribunals and,
oh, bugger
and
that.
Try and get to get my money back. And that's going to cost me money. And it's just ridiculous.
Do you think that people, when they book you, go in believing that they won't pay you? Or is it they can't afford it? Or they're just lazy?
I just think that in this situation, the job was a small job and extended to a bigger job. And I just think that their cash flow didn't extend to what they wanted to do. And it got to a point where she decided, oh, I need to stop and I don't want you guys to work here anymore. So, with all the work that I've already done, I'm not paid for, but she doesn't want any more work, so I'm screwed.
It can be miscommunication. Well, that's when the days came in when they've got a form where you make people sign it. As soon as they say, I want this done, and also I want that, like they add extras, and if you don't bloody stitch them down, you can get into trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, Troy, I hope it works out, buddy. Hey, Mark's from Wynnum. Mark, what happened to you, mate?
I was just doing this bit of intricate work down in Melbourne. I'm a plasterer.
Yeah.
Went to put the bill in. It was a $6,000 job. And the owner come out and said, sorry, mate, I'm not gonna pay you for that. I pretty well said, well, that's what you want. And he goes, yeah, but I'm not paying you. And he goes, if you don't leave, you know, my father will come down. And I sort of kept asking him the question. They seen his father's come out from the back unit with a pistol in his hand.
Oh.
And he said to me, if you don't walk off the property now, I'll shoot you in the kneecap. I've done it to my son-in-law for cheating on my wife, on my daughter, so I'll do it to you too. So the hardest thing ever for me was to turn around and walk off that site.
Oh, my God.
How much were you owed?
$6,000.
They were going to do that, Mark, they were going to do that from day one, weren't they? That was their plan from the moment you stepped out there.
Absolutely, because there's only plain cornices what we had to do, but they wanted all this extra stuff.
And yeah.
I'm going to pay.
Is that one of the reasons you're up in Brizzy?
No, I'm up here. The family's up here. I just had a bit of a work and holiday, and so I was down there for a couple of years and did a bit of work. But, yeah, that was a scary ordeal.
Oh, God, you guys work hard, Plasters. Mate, I'm sorry, Mark. That's a hell of a story.
To walk away knowing you'll never see that cash.
Someone
brownie.
Threatening you with a gun.
Of Browns Plains. What happened?
Hey Robin. Hey, I was a mature age apprentice around about the age of 40, and I had a mate who I went and worked for. And he fell on sort of hard times with clients, and he worked in variations and didn't document them and worked and ended up in a whole lot of mess with, you know, the BSA and so forth. But anyway, I lent him $20,000 as a mature age apprentice.
You're the apprentice and you lent him 20 grand, yeah.
Yeah, he was a mate of mine. So, you know, I had him for 20 years as a mate. I lent him 20K out of my line of credit to support and float his business. We wrote up a contract to say that he would offer up pools and vehicles and so forth. And, mate, in the end of the day, he couldn't even float my employment, so I had to go and work elsewhere. And in the end of it, he ended up doing a runner, moved out of his house and won't answer emails or phone calls or anything along that line, and I'm down 20K.
Oh, Brownie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, sometimes contracts are not worth the paper they're written on, ever.
Sorry, Brownie. Hey, just finally, very quickly, Rob's from Ipswich. Mate, what happened, Rob?
Oh, my old man's mate's a painter. He never got paid for months, and he kept asking. They told him to get nicked all the time, so they went and got all the rubbish off the sites. And I'm a truck and dog and dumped it on their front doorstep, mate. Told them to clean it up, mate. You're not going to pay.
I got no problem with that, Rob.
Yeah, that's right.
I
got
Did
no
it work?
Problem with that at all.
No, I never paid.
He still had to spend some time picking up rubbish.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, God, it's a mongrel.
Mato, Ed and Robin.
I just wanted to get your take on this because some dear family friends of ours who live in Sydney who I've known pretty much my entire life, there are four kids in the family. They're a lot older than us and their mum is still alive. But one of the children, the youngest, required a kidney transplant. And this has all happened fairly recently. He's been on dialysis for a number of years. His life has been fairly crappy. He's just on 50, I think. Anyway, as I said, he's the youngest and he's got three older siblings. They went through the whole process of matching the family to see whose kidneys could potentially be a match for him. The mother's came back, but she's in her 80s and as much as she'd love to, she's not allowed.
She can't do that. Yeah.
So then it came down to the other three. His elder brother wasn't a match. And of the two older sisters, both were. However, when faced with all of the information that was provided, when it comes to kidney transplants, and I didn't know this, it's actually a lot more dangerous for the person giving the kidney than it is for the person receiving it.
And they've got to lose weight. You've got to be pretty healthy.
Got to be really fit, really healthy. Anyway, in this particular family, it took a number of months to decide, but one of the siblings decided that she wouldn't do it.
And on what basis?
Whoa.
Wasn't overly close to her younger brother. They clashed a lot as personalities and just...
What?
I know, but I mean, you know, everyone has a right. It's her body. And the elder sister did decide to do it. And subsequently, the operation has happened. And interestingly enough, the sister has had a much tougher time of it than a younger brother. Now, as I said, he was super sick. So the fact that he's now got a healthy kidney, he's doing so much better than he ever was.
That's good.
But when it comes down to that, I mean, hopefully, touch wood, none of us ever get faced with this sort of dilemma. But if a member of your family required a kidney, would you give it?
Yeah, well, I guess you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Well, no, you don't, clearly. As is in this family's case. One of the sisters said she just wouldn't go through with the operation.
There's something wrong with her.
Really?
I would have thought so. I thought that's just a clear... That's part of being a family. She shouldn't be involved in anything to do with the family.
What if there was a situation where, let's say someone was older and they'd been like a hard drinker, they really abused their body, and then they wanted a liver or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. You'd be like, I don't have anyone in my family who's like that, but I could imagine there'd be people go, you know what?
You don't deserve it.
You've done that to yourself.
Well, okay, hang on though. What if you don't like that sibling?
Yeah, well, that's the other one. What would you do, Robin?
I would. I mean, I've only got one sister. Actually, no, I've got a half-brother and sister, and I don't have anything to do with them. So if my half-brother, who lives in England,
I would have thought it's not even a question, though. Like, you know, I just figured it's just, that's a natural, that's just a gimme. That's part of being a family.
Hmm. Yeah, well, not.
Not every family.
I would love to know what people think. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, and it's your
body. Bone marrow, too, you know, and leukemia and stuff like that.
What grows back? What, your liver? Your liver grows back, doesn't it?
The liver, as I'm choking in the corner, the liver is the only one that's self-generating. So everything else you have to
get
transplant for.
It's you can only donate stuff when you've got two of them, correct?
Yeah, so you've got two kidneys and you can donate one. But I, as I said, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. If you don't like the person that you're related to, are you going to give them one of your precious body parts? Are you going to give them an organ?
Hmm. What do you think, people? Do you have to hand over the organ just because they are your sibling?
Come on, Marto.
Someone in your family?
Yeah, if you didn't like
but
your
sibling.
But I
like everyone, so I can't even think about that. Okay. I like all my brothers and sisters.
I'd love to know. Sorry, Ed.
They'd go, no, we know what you've done with your kidneys. We don't want it, but that's beside the point.
Mark, what happened with you and transplants, mate?
I had a transplant about 4 years ago. I was on dialysis for a couple of years, and I've got three sisters, but I never asked any of them for it. Because if something happened to them, my nieces and nephews would have been left without a mother, and I don't think I could have sort of handled that too well.
Wow. So how? So
where'd you get the kidney from?
How long did you wait? Yeah.
Yeah, waited for 2 years. I was one of the lucky ones. It was quite quick, and it was just from an anonymous donor like that had passed away.
But hang on, Mark. What if it had meant that you potentially would lose your life, and your sisters or siblings could have helped you?
I just didn't want to put up with, like, if they had passed away. That's all I sort of thought of. That's why I never approached the subject with them.
Wow. Thanks, Mark.
And they didn't volunteer it?
No, well, I never asked them anyway to volunteer or anything, so they didn't sort of have the opportunity to volunteer.
It was off the table.
But they knew about your kidney, so therefore they should have volunteered, in my mind. Anyway.
Yeah.
Mark, there. No, he's gone.
Robin of Redland Bay, what do you think about this? Your brother needed a kidney. What happened?
My brother was in the same. He had kidney disease and was on dialysis. And my mum sort of had all the tests and that and had confirmed that she would be the donor before we sort of got a choice. But I had to stop and think because I had a small daughter at that stage. And if she needed a kidney later on and I'd already donated to my brother, I then wouldn't be able to donate to her. And I would be the most likely one to be compatible because she's my daughter.
Yeah,
so on my license, I'm an organ donor. So when I cark, I've donated everything. But in terms of me having to think about my daughter's future, I sort of had to put it into perspective that, you know, if she needed a kidney off me later on, then if I've already donated one, I can't donate anymore.
You've nailed that.
Wow.
Did it all end up all right? Yeah. With your mum giving
My brother's fine. He's like healthy as, and my mum's going great. So, yeah. And lucky for my brother, my mum wasn't a heavy drinker. And her kidney, even at, I think she was in her 60s at the time, her kidney's like a kidney of a 20-year-old. So he was very lucky.
Oh, jeez. Thanks, Robin.
And imagine in a family, like that's never occurred to me. I've never stopped to think, oh, my goodness, one of my children may need my kidneys.
I never thought that either.
Alec of Indooroopilly.
Yeah, good day. How you going?
Yeah, good, mate.
Good. What's that?
You're on dialysis?
Yeah, I've been on dialysis for 5 years now, which is a pretty long time for the for the type that I'm on. But yeah, as I was saying to the guy before, my brother was a sort of a perfect match, but when it came down to the final decision, he pulled out and said no, which sort of left me in a bit of a lurch and put a bit of a rift in that relationship.
This is what we're talking about. On what basis did he knock you back for a kidney?
Similar thing to the lady just before, young family, having one kidney at such an early age, he's only 40, they were worried that it might not see him out. But yeah, it's a bit debatable on those sort of terms, but yeah, it hasn't made it easy, that's for sure.
How do you feel about him now?
Oh, you know, still love him as a brother. You know, opinions have sort of changed as far as, you know, what a quote-unquote a man would do. You know, as being a gentleman. But in saying that also, I moved to a small town in New South Wales 3 years ago. And in that time, I've had three total strangers
offer me a kidney. Each time it hadn't worked out with medical things, as far as they found some cancer in one of the people and other ones weren't an option. But, you know, it goes both ways. You can have someone you've known for your whole life that says no, and someone you've known for a few years that, you know, offers it to you, which is an absolutely amazing offer that, you know, you would never expect.
Hey, Alec. Thanks so much for telling us your story today. And, mate, best
good
of
luck.
Good luck, buddy.
We hope that you get the organ that you need. And thanks for everyone's calls. It does remind me, Robin, this is a very interesting topic. There are some other calls we could be taking as well, is that you got to be organ donors, everyone. You know, you got to just, if something tragically does happen to you, you can save a number of lives just by ticking that box and being an organ donor.
And the other thing I'll say is that, and this happened with my dad who died when I was 11, even if they can't use your organs to help someone else, they can use it at unis and stuff to actually do research.
To teaching people too.
So, you know, and I know that freaks some people out, but actually you got a long way to enabling, you know, science to progress. Absolutely. So,
well
good
said.
Thing.
Plenty of post-game analysis. You'll be able to see NRL 360's Origin special, and that's going to be running all over the weekend. And lots of players, former players, having a chat to us over the last few days just saying what they saw. Justin Hodges, he was with us before the game, and now it's time to check in with him now that the dust has settled a little bit. Former Queensland and Broncos champion. Justin Hodges, what a disappointing game that was.
Yeah, look, it was. I think no one sort of expected that, but full credit to New South Wales, mate. They took that momentum and really, really broke down the Queensland side, which you've never ever seen before.
Justin, you also didn't have a great night with your under 20s, did you? Although at one point, I was getting text messages to say that they were like 16 all.
Yeah, look, we got up pretty early. Yeah, we were up about 10-0, then we sort of let two penalties, then they scored off the back of that, and the boys were very good. I was very proud of them. They kept hanging in there and they kept turning New South Wales away. Like, we had so many repeat sets, and I think the penalty count was like 12-3 in their favour. So, the boys did a lot of defending and they just kept turning up, mate. And that's all I could ask of them.
Hodjo, this is where you get paid the money when you go into the media. What changes we got to make for the next game?
Oh, mate, look, definitely. I think we have to, our bench has got to be better. We've got to change our bench. New South Wales, when their bench came on, really gave them that momentum as well. And I think we need some more firepower out wide, mate. I think, when you take JT out and obviously GI, that firepower is just gone. So we've got to find something there. I think Justin O'Neill might have to leave, and you put maybe Gagai into the centres and find room for Billy back in the side. So I think we have to do that.
Yeah, Justin, also with the forwards, we were really loose around the ruck, and they just, we just didn't put them on their backs enough. Like, they just kept rolling forward,
Exactly right. I think we just did too much. Like, that first half was just end-to-end, it was just going too fast. And, they got a younger side, they got a mobile side. Our side is a little bit older, so, we just couldn't compete there for the whole 80 minutes. And I think our ruck, you said our ruck was terrible. We just let them, Fafita was outstanding. He was just getting them on the front foot every time, but that's something where we need to be better, way better.
You can't tell me. Have we got any fat fast guys with tattoos like that anywhere?
No, we don't.
What about Gordy? Does he got any?
Gordy used to be a bit like that. A huge unit who was also fast.
I don't know. We have to go looking for someone. We'll just paint someone anyway.
Paint them up. Get them out there. Hey, Justin Hodges, mate. We'll see you on Fox Sports all over the weekend. Appreciate you coming on, mate. Thanks.
No worries, guys. Have a good day.